We're going to get into the 11th chapter again. And I think we left off in the 17th verse of Hebrews 11, 17th verse. And last week we were able to fellowship and so encouraged again by the life of Abraham. And we'll finish up a little bit on him tonight and talk about his wonderful son and a couple of his grandsons and great-grandsons this evening. And it's amazing how the faithfulness of God, when you do lift your family and your children up to Him, He's faithful for them, isn't He? Amen. And unfortunately, it just takes one generation to miss it. And it's gone. And it's gone. So let that encourage us to run well. I was talking to a lady today, and we were talking about pointing your kids to the right things, bringing the right things into your home and helping them. But one of the greatest things the Lord has always encouraged me to do with my own children is to be that example for them, to be the one that they can see the work of God in, and the love of God will attract them. So wonderful. But we'll read from the 17th verse, and we'll go through the 19th for right now. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." And I so love this passage as well. I think I'm starting to say that on every one of these, and I would pray that we do love the exercise of faith in each one of our lives, and this wonderful example of faith being exercised in Abraham's life here. But by faith, he makes it through the impossible. By faith, you can make it through the impossible because God's there. He's in it for you, and He is always before us. All Abraham's life, if you think about this, he waited and he waited. Sometimes in despair. Sometimes he was discouraged. Sometimes he was ridiculed. But he waited for this promise. He waited for a son to be multiplied in his seed. And I thought how wonderful that was. The Lord brought me reading so much through the Kings. And I was thinking about Ahab. And I don't know if you recall this, but Ahab had 70 sons. Can you imagine that? He had 70 sons. See, he was planning. He was planning that his seed was going to go on, and he was going to be fruitful, and he was going to multiply, and he was going to do all this. You know how many of his sons survived? None. You know how much of his seed survived? None. It was cut off. Because he didn't honor God. Now, the blessing, the covenant, was in one. See, that's God. Don't ever limit him. Don't ever think that his arm's too short for something. When he's promised you something, believe him for it. And these, by the grace of God, there's promises in here for us. It's our life. It is. Know the word of God for yourself. Rightfully divide the truth. And don't doubt it. Believe what he has said. Don't tire from the things in your life or getting down or discouraged. Know that he is there. Know that he has promised it. Know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Don't doubt that. There may be a delay sometimes before we see something. But there's precious, precious treasure in that delay. There's treasure in the waiting. There's treasure in being patient in the things of God. But after 100 years, here he was. And now God says to him, offer him to me. And I just thought again as reading this, it says he offered up his only begotten son. God offered up his only begotten son, didn't he? And he had complete confidence in the power that was over that situation. If you think about it, he let his son go, but he knew of the power that would raise him. And that's the same power that Abraham trusted for his son, Isaac. Do you realize that? Do you see the type in here? Do you see the type of power that God wants us to seize, which is His Son? And this was the same power that enabled Christ, that enabled Abraham. So don't ever tell me that your suffering or your test of faith is greater than this. You really think about it. Don't tell me that your suffering or your test is greater than this. Not just to lose a son, but you be the one to offer the son. And you be the one that's going to sacrifice that son. Makes me get a little bit quiet and say, Lord, I trust you. And only God can get you through this one, and obviously only God can get you through anyone. But by faith, he so believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. That's why he had peace. He knew that God could raise his son from the dead. And I hope that that would encourage us to have that same kind of faith. I don't know if you remember so many years ago, and it was pretty recent, that there was a little boy, that there was a bookcase fell upon him up here in the mountains. I don't know if any of you remember that, but it killed the little boy. He was about 5 or 6 years old or somewhere in there. And his parents were Christians. And they were very sweet Christians, and I appreciated their faith. And they asked that the coroner in the city would just leave the body alone because they were trusting God that that life would come back into that child. And they prayed for him, and they sought God for it, and I believe they did. I really do believe in my heart. I didn't know these people or anything, but I believed in my heart that they really sought God for him. And I thought, even at that time, this same scripture came to me, that he was taken, but they knew that God really had raised that son from the dead anyways, but they knew that he had the power, if God would allow it, to raise that child from the dead. And they weren't discouraged from it after, you know, they took their time, the time that the government would give them for that child. And the Lord didn't come in for that situation that way. But they still gave praise and glory and honor to the Lord and said, we know that he's been raised. So I just thought that that so encouraged me. And they really blessed me. And, you know, sometimes when we come off our high horse, sometimes it's amazing what can bless us. And it's amazing what kind of testimony we can have with other people, too. So that really did move me. And I don't know if any of you remember that, but that was pretty recent. But we need to trust him like that for everything and in anything. Because where he leads, I want to follow him and I want to be in gladness believing. Because in the furnace is the treasure. But you know what they leave out a lot of times when we say in the furnace is the treasure? He's in the furnace with you. He didn't leave you. He's right there. He is right there. I had a precious brother tell me today, he said, I have a peace about something. I just can't imagine why I have this peace. And he's going through a great trial right now. But it is amazing. It's amazing and encouraging to me. And he said, I am in the furnace, but I know who's with me. And all is well. All is well. And may we be able to call out on the name of the Lord and say, it is well. Just like that lady with her son. When old Elijah was coming over there, it is well. It is well. Thank you, Jesus. But in the furnace is learned patience in waiting for the race. And Abram was resolved in his life. He had purposed to sacrifice Isaac. He had purposed to sacrifice him. He considered him dead, but he also considered that he would receive him back to life. Think about that faith. That's the faith I want. Give me the faith of my fathers. Remember that song that we sing every once in a while? Now, do you see why we sing that song? Do you see the truth in that song? Give me the joy it doth bring. When you have faith like that, you have joy. I was talking to my mama the other day. We were talking about excitement for people and how people just always wanted to be stimulated. And I said, well, I guess in a lot of ways, Mom, I said, maybe people think I've had a boring life. And I guess if you think I had a boring life now, gosh, you haven't seen me lately, have you? Just kind of sitting around and reading and all these different things and talking and talking. I'm just teasing. And it's wonderful. But you know, when you're in God's will, it's exciting. There's a joy. It is. And it's continual. And There's the things of the world, like you say, that really too do go strangely dim in our life. And these people that are always just looking for a stimulant for their senses. God takes you beyond your senses, doesn't He? And He just gives you a peace that satisfies everything. And just so appreciate Him. But that's what God wants from us, is to be completely resigned to His will. And I notice here again that when Abraham was completely resigned to His will, He lifted him out of that, didn't He? And that again so speaks to me. And again, I can testify to you time and time again. When I finally let it go and I finally said, Lord, it's yours, that's the time He'll remove me from the fire. That way of escape is always there and He's always with me. But it's so precious, and I will have to say there is such a relief sometimes when He does take you from that. But I've always noticed it's when I've just finally let it go and say, Lord, it is well. It is well. If we would save our life, we must lose it. Let's turn over to Genesis 22, chapter 22, 11 and 12. That's 22, 11 and 12. Read this carefully with me because it's so wonderful here. And the angel of the Lord, and you're going to read through many of the chapters, the angel of the covenant was Jesus Christ. It's God the Son. And you'll see again why I'm pointing this out. But it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Who's me? That's Jesus. Jesus is right there. See, if you read this from even the 22nd verse, you'll see that it was God that told him to go up and offer that son. There was judgment coming. It was a burnt offering that was going to happen there. But see, God couldn't intervene for that. It had to be grace. It had to be Jesus. And there was Jesus, and he said, you have not withheld your son from me. And you'll notice in that 13th verse it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. That's your Jesus. And he was caught in a thicket with his horns. And he died. And he took the place. And it's over and over and over in this Old Testament. And I think again about my sweet friends and my sweet Jewish friends. And again, you know, they talk about this Old Testament. And he's all over it, isn't he? You can't get around it. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Job 23:10, it says, after he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. So know the promise that he's put us in. Faith can lead us through the impossible. Now let's go to the 20th and the 21st verse. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Again, so precious, many things to note in this passage. But first, by faith we bless others. Think about that. By faith we bless others. Many times we don't think of ourselves really as anything. And that's a good thing to think of. But a lot of times we don't think that we matter. We kind of get in our own despair a little bit. You know, who am I? I really don't matter out there in this old world. You know, no one really notices me. But you know what? Our life means something when we walk with God by faith. It means everything. And it blesses one another. Another, when we walk by faith, there's a blessing there. And you know it. You can see the ones that truly walk by faith in this place. And if it doesn't thrill your soul to see your brother and sister walking in faith, something's wrong with you. And it encourages you on, doesn't it? To see that growth, to see that maturity, to see that all pleasing to the Lord. That's a life of faith. Hallelujah. How wondrous to see the faith building by the word of God in a saint. The faith victory in times of hardship and suffering. It speaks volumes to my spirit and it encourages me to run the race. Sometimes when I'm a little bit low, I hope you understand. The Word of God working in you encourages me on in the things of God. A few weeks ago, I'll tell you, the enemy was, you know, he was everywhere. He was just telling me really how incapable in a lot of things. And the Lord said, I am. I am. And you know, when I am does it, hallelujah, then we get something done. Thank you, Jesus. And if you know this story, it's wonderful. This is the godly man. This is Isaac. I so appreciate that. And his flesh, he wanted to bless Esau, didn't he? He didn't want to bless Jacob. He wanted Esau. Oh, yes, he did. And I truly believe maybe it wasn't revealed to him as it was Rebekah. And that was sweet that the older would serve the younger. And maybe he just didn't want to receive it because he preferred Esau. It said Isaac loved Esau and his wife loved Jacob. But maybe, again, he just didn't want to see it. He may have preferred him, but no matter, and how precious this was, that after he had blessed Jacob in this story, here comes Esau. And you know what? Isaac wasn't in a rage. He wasn't upset. It said he trembled, and he greatly trembled at what had happened. But he resolved himself to what the Lord had done. And he said, I have blessed him, yea. I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. A lot of times, God's choice, most of the times, God's choice isn't man's choice. A lot of times, God's choice isn't our choice. I want God's choice. I want to be part of God's will. I want to be in His perfect will. There's a good, there's an acceptable, and then there's a perfect will of God. You know, I tell my son about football practice. I say, you're going to be out there 2 hours anyways. Give it your all. I don't care if your team's kind of smelly. I don't care if it's cold out there. You're there. Now give it your all. How much more would we be without excuse? We're here tonight. We're running a race. By the grace of God, give it your all. Give it your all. Don't stop short of what He wants for you. There's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Think of what you've heard. Think of what you're beginning to be told that you know and that you're knowing Him. There's so many people. I was talking to, again, a precious saint today that hadn't really been exposed to the true meaning of what the Bride of Christ is. It's so wondrous. It's so wondrous. And He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of that. That there is a rib portion. That is that this, the church is sleepy. And He's going to take that out. And He's going to cause that body, that's a body into her own, to rule and to reign with Him. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to go there right now. I'm just going to point something out to you. I just think that the Lord wants us to rejoice with this. Let's go over to Philippians 3. Again, the Lord just encouraging me with this. And this really is what this whole study is about as well, too. But in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You want a commission? You want to know what God's will is in your life? He just told you in verse 10. He could just wrap it up and say, okay. But you know what? He gave you more words of love, didn't He? And it says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's the out resurrection. Now look what Paul says here in this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Was he talking about by any means I might be resurrected? Was he talking about by any means I might be saved? There's something more here that he's seeing. There's something more that the Lord wants to take him into. And this is the out resurrection. This brings us right into 1 Thessalonians 4. Those that alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the air. These are the four living ones. Do you see what you're being brought into? Is it evident to you that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus? And it's not something to sit there about and say, okay, well, yeah, I know that. I see that. Let it thrill your soul. Let it thrill your heart. There's a high calling. There's someone that's going to win Him. And there's someone that's going to rule and reign with Him. And why not me? And why not you? And you're the only one that'll keep yourself from that place. Don't blame it on anybody else. Don't say, well, I didn't hear this, or I didn't understand it, or I didn't start early enough in my life to really get this. Uh-uh. Get it now. And He's offering it to you. And don't stop short. Don't sell out for feeling. Go by faith and get everything that the Lord wants you to have. Hallelujah. But he accepted God's will immediately, this wonderful Isaac. And he took it from the Lord and he said, yes, he shall be blessed. Turn over to Proverbs 19:21. That's Proverbs 19:21. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. I'll attest to that. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Why don't we just accept what God's will is? Let's quit messing around. Okay? Quit messing around with your life. We talked about it Sunday. He wants godliness in you. He does. He wants the knowledge of Him in you. He wants you to know Him in a divine way. And it's by grace. And as we accept that and we allow that grace that flows down to us. Remember, grace comes down. Grace only comes from Jesus Christ. And it came down in a mighty way and died for us. But God's Word will and always will prevail. And God help us to enter in and be part of His will as did Isaac. So we can rejoice and participate in the blessing. See, I want to be in the blessing. The blessing is going to happen. I want to be in it. I want to be part of it. I don't want to just watch it. I want to enter in and experience it. That's living for Jesus. That's the difference. We talk about it. You can sit on the outside and observe it. Enter in. Feast with Him. And again, it's you that puts you on the outside. Just enter in. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It's quite an invitation. Didn't say I needed a ticket. Didn't say I needed, you know, anything special. Except all I need to say is, Lord Jesus, help me. It's mercy time. It's grace time. And He'll give you everything you need. Hallelujah. You'll go on to notice that even the blessing, I'm kind of jumping through this a little bit here, and I encourage you to go back and read this in Genesis 27. But even the blessing that was uttered by Isaac to each one of his sons, it was almost identical that he uttered to them. And if you'll read that in Genesis 27, it says about the fatness of the earth and I give you the dew of heaven. But I want you to always remember this. And the Lord spoke to me that He is the supplier of the blessing. It's not the vessel. He is the supplier of the blessing. It is not the vessel. And see, that's what's wrong with a lot of Christianity today. And I fault the preachers as well, too. But people flock to the person. I need Him to touch me. Oh, if that brother's not here giving the Word, I don't want to be here. Now, wait a second. It's the Word of God. Now, He's the one that's going to give the increase. And all I can do by the grace of God is give you the Word of God. And we say, Lord, bless it. And I know we're here in His name. And I know His Spirit's here. And you know, sometimes His Spirit might be a little bit solemn. Sometimes it might just have it jumping right out of our britches. Okay? But I want what He wants. I want His love, right? We want His anointing. And it comes in different ways all the time. But it's His. That's what we rely on. It's not the feeling, it's the faith. And there's a sweetness in that. It's just, like I say, it's just like your life. If you think about a relationship or anything like that, there's times when it's quiet. There's times when it's still. There's times when it's exciting where you're. I think about some of the exciting places I've seen and went to with my wife and different things. But she's still there. And we're still together. And that's what it counts. And that's what it is with Jesus. He's with you always. Always. He never leaves you. Don't care what you're going through. He never leaves you. Amen. Jacob's blessing was far superior, though, because it was the one that was given to Abraham. And I'd like you to turn to turn to Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. So it's just right across the page. That's Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Look what he called him. He was profane. Let me tell you something. When you reject, when you reject his blessing, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. He sold out for a mess of pottage. Don't sell out for a mess of pottage. A lot of Christians sell out for a mess of pottage. And they truly do. Go on with him. Get the sweetness. Get it all. I want in blessing, he'll bless me. In multiplying, he multiplies me. I want it all. And see, that's what Isaac entered into. When he was finally tested, that last testing with his son, oh, that was so sweet. It wasn't just bless and I'll multiply you. It was, in blessings, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Now let that so speak to us again. What's he given us? What has he offered to us today? Complete salvation. Complete. Complete and ultimate sanctification of being set apart with him. That's what he has got in his hands for us today. Praise God. Now this blessing again, as we read, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. One morsel of meat. And you think again, that was his flesh. Do you understand? That's our flesh that gets us hungry. And you say, well, he needed food. Well, you could say those disciples needed sleep, didn't they? And what did Jesus say to him? Couldn't you tarry just a little while longer? He's speaking to us. There's something about denying self and going on with the Lord. Again, it's grace. And the grace is seeing the love of God that he's put before you. That you want to say, Lord, I want you. A lot of people don't even understand heaven. And I have to admit, I sometimes get there. This world gets so icky and weird, they'll get me out of here. I don't want to go to heaven to escape. I want to go to heaven to see my love. I want to be face to face. Now, let me tell you something. There's multiple benefits once you leave this place, too. But it's Jesus Christ that we want to see. It's him I want to fellowship with. It's him I just want to behold. I was thinking of him today. Lord, am I really going to see the lamb slain there? Am I going to see that ravaged body? Beaten. Marred more than any man. Standing there for me. That means something to me. And I believe it means something to you. I know it does. But what he went through and thinking the sin scarred on him for me. For me. That's who I'm going to see. And that's who I'm going to love. And I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, that blessing was there for him. He would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This was the blessing. Isaac may have blessed them similarly, but God, this was his blessing. And it's on you. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There isn't one that he's left out on you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? It's there for you. Now again, the fridge is open. May we take and live those promises. So let it so speak to us. Again, as the Word of God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's all the blessing. Now I want to live that blessing right now. But I want that engagement ring and I want to treasure it. I hear about these ladies sometimes losing that engagement ring. Shame on you. I know some guys that lost their wedding ring too, and well, we won't even go there. But hold it fast. He wants to wed you. Cherish him. Honor him. Love him. Let him work in you. Let Him thrill your soul. That's how it's going to happen. That's what it's going to be. Talk to a sweet lady today about the different things, you know, about going to school and studying these classes, going to seminary or different things like that. I appreciate it. She really testified back to me. She said, you know, I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And, you know, I don't want to just be formed like somebody else. I want God to make me what He wants me to be. I want God to make me what He wants me to be. You know what He wants me to be? Transformed. An image likened to His own. He wants me to grow up into all things like Him. He wants me to partake in the joy right now with Him. He wants me to live a glory life right now. He wants me to live a throne life right now. That's what He's offering us. Hallelujah. It's not just a someday. Oh, I know it's to come. Payday someday. That's awesome. But the joy of the Lord right now is my strength. And it was set before Him and He endured the cross because He saw that joy that was set before Him. And I think in my small little way, because I know He's been tested and tempted in every way. But I see the joy that's set before me. And it's glory, glory, glory. And that's where I want to be. That's where I want to stand up for Jesus. That's where I want to say, Lord, help me to be a testimony. Help me to win others to Christ. Help me to love the unlovable and allow You to work through me in my life. And not to sell out for a mess of pottage. There is so much high calling in this wonderful scripture. But then you get to sweet Joseph. His wonderful faith that was given by God. And Paul in this section here is not emphasizing the blessing in these verses. He's really not. It's the faith that he's emphasizing. The all-pleasing response to God is faith. You know that, don't you? The all-pleasing response to God is faith. Why would he dedicate this wonderful chapter? It truly is. He's magnifying the work of his Son in these precious lives. I want to have great faith. I want, really, I think Christ in a lot of ways was surprised with that man. He says, man, such great faith I've never seen. He says, Lord, you don't even need to come to my house. You're too busy. You're too great. You just say that he's okay and he's good. You have that kind of faith? I want that kind of faith. I think he leads me and says, Jesse, you can have that kind of faith. But I'm always over there trying, oh, there's just no way. I better have a contingency plan. Uh-huh. Now, Brother Hill used to talk about it. Well, Lord, I'll tell you what, I got a bad headache here. And I'm going to set my watch. And in about, we're going to have 10 minutes of faith here. And we're going to set that right there in about 10, 15 minutes. I might even go 15. Let's see. And if not, we're going to, and as he, what did Brother Hill used to say? Why don't you just go ahead and take that right now? Okay. All right. Now we're going to even go a step further with that. Trust God. Completely. Sometimes he uses mud in your eye, doesn't he? To fix that eye. Sometimes he says, go wash. Sometimes he says, well, I'm going to let Lazarus die. But he's really not dead. I just had to say that because you don't understand that stuff. He says, I'm just going to let him, he's sleeping. But I'm going to just let him go and then I'm going to have him come forth. And then sometimes I might touch. Sometimes I might command. God does it his way every time. Uses a staff sometimes. Uses ravens sometimes. Uses all these different things. If you put God in a box, which you can't do anyways, but if he healed it the same way every time, where would your faith be? Is that right, brother? Amen. Amen. Okay, how about I really believe him and say, Lord, I know you've already healed me. Huh? Do you believe you're already healed? Huh, brother? I believe you're already healed. Now, somebody would look and say, no, that body's not healed. Oh, that body's healed. It is. It's done. He said he's already touched you. Do you believe it? That's faith, man. That's what he's teaching me about faith, Jesse. It's done. You may not see it. There may be a delay and a response and different things in it. But let me tell you something. It's healed. Yeah. I think we're getting it. I think we're finally getting this thing a little bit. You know, it's a baby step with me. You know, as he keeps taking me through. But how about that I've already healed that for you? How about I've already answered that? It's done. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. There's a lot of wisdom in that, and I'm so thankful He's bringing us there. Christ is so quick to cover all our sin and folly. And He leads us on, and if we'll only trust Him and put our full confidence in Him. Just as David, in spite of all his shortcomings, the heart, his faith was perfect before God. And so precious that these two sons of Joseph were born to that Egyptian mother. If you know the story here, that was Joseph. He was taken down into Egypt as a young man, and basically he lived and grew up there. But their mother was an Egyptian. They were born in a strange land. And I won't go there, we're kind of short for time, but in Genesis 48, 5 and 16, you might go back and read that. Jacob says to him, as he's blessing him, he says, "These are mine. And I bless them in the name of Abraham, and I bless them in the name of Isaac, and it's going to be on them." And that blessing, see, that prayer drew their heart right then. It didn't matter where they were born. It didn't matter where you are tonight. It didn't matter what you did today. Now, I really don't want you to be encouraged to go disappoint God. I don't think He really wants you to do that. But you know what? Sometimes it's going to happen. But the blessing's on you. If you're a child of God, the blessing's on you. It's there. Now live to Him, just like these two little ones. He put that hand out there on them. I so love it. He put His hands on their head, and we'll talk about a minute. But it drew their hearts to a place with Him, with God's people, with His family. And notice again, the younger Ephraim received the right hand, and the younger, and again the younger, received his greater blessing. It's God that chooses. Really listen to that. Let God choose, because you know what? It's God that chooses. At the end, it's God. You may think you made a choice in a lot of ways, but in the end, it's God that chooses. Now, let's get and be in His will. See, I want to choose with God. I want His choice. Just like people say, well, He gives me the desires of my heart. Oh, I love it. Well, I would hope that those desires that He put in my heart is what I pray for. Let them be yours, Lord. Let them be yours. Let it edify you. I want the will of God. That's when, again, I talk about stepping out in boldness with Him. What are you praying for? Are you praying for something you want? Or are you praying for God's will? We're cutting to the chase here. You can say, well, how can I always just pray for God's will? I think you can. I think you can trust Him like that. I believe He wants you to trust Him like that. I know He does. He's calling us out to do it. And it's amazing how, again, I want to go from just being multiplied and blessed to the double portion. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. In blessings, I'm going to bless you. And then again, look what He did to us so sweetly. I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There isn't anything left out. Now enter into the blessing. So hard for us to do is to let go and let God. I'll tell you. But again, notice that the younger serves, or the older serves the younger. We need to learn to rest in what God has chosen. Live God's blessing, not our own mind and our own selfishness. And I even appreciate old Joseph again, that man of God. If you know the story, he tried to change it, didn't he? He took those hands, you know, there was the right hand, which was the blessing hand, and it was on Ephraim. And there was the left hand, and it was on Manasseh, right? What did Joseph do? Oh, Daddy, you got it wrong. You're just an old man. You don't know what you're doing. And what did he do? He switched them like that, and then what happened? Old Jacob threw him back, and he said, I know. He said, I know it. I know what I'm doing because I'm doing God's will. See, we may not see that all the time. Again, because you're going in your own selfishness when you don't see things like that. God's ways aren't ours, our ways. They're not man's ways. They're completely different. They're above. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Jacob's such a rascal, a strong man, and he finally completes and leans on that staff. His strength, his comfort, his all, as David in the 23rd Psalm, is in and on that staff. And when we finally come to that point, we enter into a true and complete worship. He becomes our everything as we enter into that spirit and truth worship. It leads and we follow. It sustains and we lean and we fall into it. I'd like to get the 22nd verse as well today. It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Joseph is comforted in death. And even though he has much natural wealth, I want you to listen to this too. A lot of people say, oh, if you have natural wealth, you can never trust God, or you can't go with God. You got to be lowly. You got to give your money away. You got to. And that ain't going to get it, is it? It's the state of the heart. I've seen many a poor people that their affection was completely into money. Did you hear me on that? Probably even more so. And I'm not kidding you. It comes from both sides. The love of money is the root of all evil. Read the Word of God. Greed's really high up on the chart. Ego's right there too. Jealousy kind of sneaks in. And, you know, it's just what we're made of. Got it all in our flesh, don't we? Don't think you don't have a problem with any of that stuff. You know what? But for the grace of God, there go I. Don't think you're above anything. All right. Just know who's above you and put him above you all the time. Respect him and honor him. But though he has much natural wealth, his focus in his heart is on the heavenly. It's on the will of God. His thoughts are always on the promise. His thoughts are always on Canaan and not on the riches of Egypt. Oh, I appreciate that. We can get our thoughts so quickly off on these different things. But even in this man's death, he's thinking of the promise. He's thinking of the promise. I appreciate such a sweet homegoing that you hear about people. The sweetest one is obviously I've ever heard is probably Brother Hills. Without a doubt. Not only was thinking of it, he was experiencing the promise at the same time. That's testimony. That's witness. Oh, hallelujah. It's all over us. How could we neglect so great salvation? Cloud of witness, it's all over us. It's all around us because we have the Spirit here. So wonderful that even when he was increased with wealth, that he set his affections on the things above because God is able. In Genesis 15:13, it said that God says that the descendants of Abraham would serve the Egyptians for 400 years and be afflicted by them. And Joseph believed God's word. And he looked forward. He didn't look back. And I was thinking how most dying men, they really look back. Everybody's going to reminisce, aren't they? Well, I remember. I'm going to tell you. See, he was just starting to live, wasn't he? See, he knew that his time was there. It was coming. It was right before him. He was stepping into glory. And I appreciate that as talking with Brother Hill. So many times before the Lord took him home, there was an excitement that was beyond any of the excitement that he had his whole life. In that withered little body that was done. That wonderful, strong body for so many years that we saw up here with such vibrance and strength and giving out the Word of God when it was ill, when it was sick, when it was all of these different things. And that's when I come back and I say, by faith, by the grace of God, can't we tarry just a little while longer? Oh my. Run, brother, run. Run, brother, run. Don't be weighted down by the cares of this world, by the cares of my mind, what I think may be important. It's faith. I'm excited because I believe we're stepping into that, and I'm so thankful that many of us are stepping into this together and running the race. Hallelujah. But again, how blessed we are to be encouraged to look forward to our Canaan. Look forward to our inheritance because our time is coming. Let's turn to Genesis 50:24. We'll close this out here. That's Genesis 50, verse 24. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land into the land which He swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, that was their promise. What's our promise? Do you see? Do you see the similar here? Do you see the type? Joseph in this, he just said, don't fret, don't be discouraged. This is what's going to be. Now again, I'm not lifting up Brother Hill. I'm just praising God for the wonderful faith, the grace, the love that was built in that life. Where did he so point over so many years, but especially the last few months of his life on this earth before he stepped into that, still envious, he beat us. But the forever, forever. He kept pointing us. He says, it's coming. It's there. Don't lapse. Don't weary. Don't fret. Don't set that faith aside. Run. Run well. Finish your course with joy. Oh, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I got from that testimony. Believe God. Believe God. He may delay things, but it's only for our benefit. And He always makes the way of escape in it. Trying of our faith is more precious than gold. And again, rather believe that it's answered. That we're already healed. That we're already blessed. That we're already assured of victory. Now live it. Live that. Hallelujah. By faith it is ours now. And then those bones, they were carried to Canaan for that burial. Our resurrection is sure in heaven. Joseph overcame all. That was the type of Christ. The type of Christ and the type of the full overcomer believer. We may be uprooted in our lifetime. We might be. We might be pressed out of measure. And I believe we're going to be to win His best. We're going to be hated by blood. Did you know that? Your own blood will hate you. It's going to happen. Joseph was a type. Do you understand that? He's an overcomer type. These are the things that happened in his life. He was unjustly persecuted. But all the time, God was blessing him. Do you believe it? Do you really believe that? I hope you do. And all the time, God is blessing us with all spiritual blessings. They had some blessings. Do you see what I'm saying? He had a promise that they were going to be delivered out of Egypt. They had another promise that they would have a Canaan, a continuing city. You've got a promise, if you'll enter into it, of the bride of Christ. Oh my. Why did it change? Why did the promise change like that? See, there's a high calling. He's calling at you. He is. He's calling for each one of us to have our eyes affixed on that promise. What a blessing. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, to be made conformable unto death. That I may attain and participate in that out resurrection. You looking forward to meeting the Lord in the air? See, a lot of people are looking for Him to just come here and get Him. You know that? They are. Saying, oh, Lord's going to return and get me here. And I kind of shake my head, and a lot of people saying that. Yeah, but I believe for you, that's right where He's going to get you. Not that I've already attained, but I have faith. I have faith. I really do. That He's going to finish me that way. I see it. Let Him finish you that way. That you meet Him in the air. When they say, where's your Christ? When they say, where's your Lord? Our government's even saying that now. Oh, you say they really do? Oh, look what they're doing to our country. Look what these people are doing to this country. Taking away everything. God out of everything. Talking about the other day about our wonderful Air Force Academy. That was a godly place, believe it or not. I don't know if you really know that. It's a godly place. I heard from one of the brothers here, they said that Fisher DeBerry, that wonderful coach there, had so many things about the Word of God. It was really like getting into little prayer meetings everywhere you went around there in a lot of ways. Six people got all of that stuff out of there. Amazing that number in a way. It's here. And He's right about there. Now He wants to meet you in the air. See, I don't want to be here. I don't want to see any more of this muck. And let me tell you something. When that's taken out of the way, it's going to start breaking loose. You don't want to be here. If there was something you wanted to escape from, that's the time you want to get out of here. All right. Now, He has great grace, and He's going to take that innumerable multitude before it all breaks loose. But just to know that I missed His best, that would be a hell on earth. That would be a hell on earth for me. Now, we don't run scared, because perfect love casts out all fear. He's not drawing us with fear. If you're fearing missing the bride of Christ, there's something wrong. I strive to attain that He makes me a workman, rightfully dividing the truth. When I rightfully divide the truth, I see the love letter. I see what He wants to do in my life. I see where He wants me to be with Him. And that's what He wants for each one of us. I could keep on and on, and I don't want to make you glad four times. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank You again, dear God, for this time. We thank You for being so real and abundant to us. Lord, just grab a hold of our life in such a way that You'd cause us to say, Lord, I'm healed in You. I'm complete in You. And Lord, You're for me, and I just fall into Your everlasting love. Thank You again for this time. We appreciate You so, and allow Your Holy Spirit to just work these wonderful promises in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.